Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Touchdown, Giants!
You're listening to the Best of the Giants.
And the Giants have won!
A weekly mix of WFAN Sports Radio 101.9's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
Years ago and last year, Brian Daboll waited too long to pull the plug on Daniel Jones.
Agreed with that, yeah.
He allowed it to just fester.
Yeah.
He allowed the frustration to not only build in the fan base, but who cares about us? It was building internally. And who cares about the team? It was building with him. Mm. You knew it. And he waited and he waited and he waited and he waited. And I think he waited because he felt like, I still have legs on this journey that I have with the New York Giants as the head coach and Shane as my general manager. This little thing that we put, we still have some legs on it. There's still an out to go restart another plan. But this time around, with Russell Wilson looking a lot like Daniel Jones, terrified in the pocket, non-committal, lofting balls up, not looking anything like the leader that he was described in the preseason, or honestly, the player that he was in the preseason, Dabes cannot afford to just say, we'll kick it down the road one more week. Now, he's doing it this week, but I think so much depends on what this Cowboys game looks like. I'm not saying they got to win, because I'm not saying the Giants are winning 10 games this year and they're supposed to be a playoff team. But what it looks like. Week one looked nothing like what we all expected this team, and I think that's internal as well, to look like against the Commanders team. Yes, the Commanders are good. Joe Witt is a very good defensive coordinator. He confused and did four stand-up D linemen. He brought pressure when he needed to, and they doubled Malik Nabers and frustrated him, and like all the things that we could talk about. Washington's a good team. But the Giants looked like they didn't have a clue what they were doing.
Well, it looked as if, to borrow an old slogan of a dear friend of mine, you can change the quarterback, you can change the location of the offensive coordinator, you can change some pieces on your offensive line, you could change all of it, and it's the same crap. I mean, that's really what it looked like. It looked like the same crap.
Right.
Now, to make the jump that a lot of fans have already done and Brian Daboll alluded to, and that's bench Russell Wilson for Jackson Dart.
Start Dart.
I think is asinine. I have to tell you. Look. And I was taken back by the head coach after the game because, and we'll play the audio in a few minutes if you're curious, he opened the door to making the change after 1 week. Now, he hasn't done it because he's going to stick with Russ, but to even open the door.
Well, I don't think he didn't open the door. He just didn't slam it shut.
Well, that's kind of opening the door.
No, it's not. The door was open because of how poorly Russ played. And then the questions that started getting asked of him in the post-game press conference. He just didn't slam it.
Well,
It's open because Russ opened the door, not Dave's.
He played
like
crap, sure.
Russ opened the door. Yeah. And then the media started like creeping it open. Like, hey, let me look inside there. Hey, what's going on inside that door right there? And Dave's needed to slam it shut, but he didn't. Now, I don't know if he didn't do that on purpose, but it's what made me start thinking, this is a fool me once, shame on you, fool me twice, shame on me
situation. I think your assessment is right on. Like, there's a difference between, we always say this, what I would do, what you would do as the listener versus what we think is going to happen. Him not slamming the door after that game shows you he's going to be quick to pull the trigger.
Mm.
And here's what concerns me, and you kind of alluded to it. A part of why that trigger may be flipped has more to do with his job than anything else. Because, yes, Brian Daboll and Joe Shane have been here for multiple years. It is inexcusable to sit there as a fan and watch the same crap we've watched the last 3 years when it's a head coach in his fourth year. We'll get to the Jets in a minute. It's easy to say it's his first game, first year. There's a lot of positives. This is Brian Daboll's fourth year. And so it concerns me that the door wasn't slammed and they seem so eager to make a change this early. And listen, if you guys missed it, here's what was said after the game. I'm going to play you two clips where Brian Daboll, maybe you agree with me, he opened the door, or as Tiki puts it, he didn't slam the door.
Mm-hmm.
The first question was very innocent. Are you considering starting Jackson Dart in week two?
Will you consider starting Jackson next week?
Yeah, look, we're going to get home, Pat. We're going to look at our game. Collectively, we all got to do better.
Okay, that answer is basically opening up the door to the possibility.
Right, no would have sufficed.
If Aaron Glenn was asked, and why would he be, but just hypothetical, mm-hmm. if he was asked after the game, hey, you considering going to Tyrod Taylor in week two? After he cursed you out, he'd say, no. Why would I do that? Justin's the starter. Now, here's how the discussion continued on in terms of, hey, are you committing to Russell Wilson?
Is it safe to say that Russell is still your starter?
Yes. I mean, we're just right here after the game. I got confidence. We got to do better around overall. Coaches, players, around everybody. So, you know, we'll get focused and ready to go on Dallas.
Go ahead, Matt. Brian. In fairness, you're not answering this. It sounds like you're not answering.
Well, we're talking about after every game. I got confidence in Russ. So we're going to go back. We'll evaluate the tape. This game isn't on Russell Wilson. It's not on Russell Wilson. I'm going to make that clear. So I have confidence in Russ. We got to do a better job all the way around.
Now, here's the thing that I kind of heard there.
Yeah.
You might have missed it because it was really quick. But it sounds like Brian Daboll's going to say this after every game, that he's going to evaluate this after every game.
Well, he's going to be asked after every game.
Well, he is, but it sounds like he's going to be evaluating this decision, this specific decision, after every game. I'm not talking about the offensive line. I'm not talking about whether, you know, Greg Van Roten is doing a good enough job to stay in there, and why not give Evan Neal, who, by the way, was inactive for this game, a chance. Like, I'm not talking about any of that other stuff, because that stuff is real as well. I'm talking about this quarterback situation. He wants to, and likely will, be evaluating this after every single game. Now, whether he gets asked about it is going to depend on how Russ plays.
Sure.
Like, if Russ plays great in Dallas, and he's not afraid to throw the ball downfield, and he's driving it into the points or spots where he should be driving the ball into, and making really good decisions and scrambling when he should instead of when he thinks he's getting pressure, then we won't have to worry about it. But if it looks like what it looked like last week, next week, this conversation is going to start being about Dabes' future.
Of course it is.
And less about Jackson Dart's
future. And because of the linkage between Daboll's future and Jackson Dart, that's why let's open our eyes, no matter what you think. Because I have my opinion. I wouldn't start Jackson Dart. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't even consider it.
No, me and you both.
Yes.
I told you he wouldn't play all year long.
And ideally he wouldn't, especially after only 1 week. And that's not to exonerate Russell Wilson. He played like crap. He looked washed, as some may say. He looked scared. He looked skittish. The offensive line is still a problem. Their running game was non-existent. Like, there's a lot of things that lead to it, but when you describe all those issues the offense has, is that the ideal spot for a rookie quarterback? And the answer is no.
Well, the only thing, and I'm just being the playing the other side here, is would Jackson Dart even know that he's in harm's way? Right? Because this is why it's so hard for young quarterbacks. And we saw it with Cam Ward, to be honest with you. It's just, it happens so fast.
Right.
But you're not aware enough to be scared of it. So you just kind of keep playing. Now, bad things might happen.
Well, yeah.
Instead of having no interceptions like Russell Wilson did, you might have two.
Yes.
Or a sack fumble or whatever it may be. And I think that is why you have some comfort in Russ, because he's not going to turn the football over. A rookie will, even if he doesn't even know why he's going to turn the football over, but he will. And so, but he also is not going to play scared.
Yes.
It felt like there were some scared moments in there for this quarterback yesterday. And that's not what Russ was brought here to do. He was brought here to be a stabilizing veteran who has positivity and confidence. You heard it over and over and over and over again. I don't know about anybody else watching this. I didn't see that.
No, not at all.
And so
it looked like the same product.
Yes.
And that sucks, and it's unfortunate because I think, and a lot of this, and I don't mean this to put anyone down like Sean or Tommy, who want to go into a season feeling positive. We all want to go into seasons feeling positive. But it felt like a lot of us tried to talk ourselves into why everything was going to be different.
Right.
And for 1 week, it is only 1 week, and it's the NFL, and things can change on a dime. But for 1 week, there was nothing different. They scored 6 points. There was nothing different. They had opportunities in the red zone, specifically like five of them inside the five-yard line, and they didn't punch it in. It was the same crap. You could change the quarterback. You could say it's Russell Wilson. It's not Daniel Jones.
Yeah.
The result was exactly the same. And that's the thing that's very difficult to kind of wrap your mind around. And so what I caution, because I get what it's like as a fan, we want to be entertained. And as a fan, it's easy to say, I'm going to be bored by Russell Wilson. That game was boring yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Give me Jackson Dart for my my sheer entertainment. But it's also not smart.
I agree.
Like, your entertainment, I get it. I get why a Giant fan would say, I don't want to bore myself watching this crap for 3 hours. Russ isn't the future. Give me Dart. I get that.
Right.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I wanted a competitive football game, for God's sakes. And we thought it was going to happen. Like, the schedule's not going to get any easier, as you know. At Dallas week two, okay, that was another quote-unquote winnable game. Right now, I don't think it matters who the Giants play. They do not look like they can play competent football regardless. It's about them. Mm-hmm. They are their toughest opponent. And not only that, BT, you get also the side note with Neighbors and Dable. Now, I'm not going to try to go after Malik Neighbors on this, but this is becoming a little bit of a pattern to a point where I'm starting to get Odell Beckham Jr. vibes a little bit, where there is a lack of... Hey, I'm not saying he's wrong either, by the way. He could be... Like, Neighbors could be right, but there is a lack of maybe respect for what's going on with the play calling, the hierarchy, and that can lead to a bad environment, especially when you're losing and you put up 6 points and no touchdown. What do you think is going to happen? It's going to snowball and potentially could get to a point where, again, it's out of control.
Yeah, I understand why you would say that. I'm not going to go there yet. I think that Dable is obviously much more than Tom Coughlin, just based on his age and his attitude, the way he comports himself. I think that Dable is fine with Neighbors. I think that they've got a good relationship. I saw what happened yesterday. If he left him hanging, by the way, never dapped him up, you know. I don't know if Neighbors really saw that. I just think that Neighbors is incredibly competitive, which I love. I think that Dable appreciates that,
yeah.
Dable. And I think that he knows that there's frustrations that are going to boil over when you're not getting the football, especially when you're open, which has happened since he was drafted here, as good as he was a year ago. So I don't think it's that big of a deal. But it really doesn't matter what I think. It's the optics. And when you're losing, right, which they are, and now forget about us, because I think we see it fairly clearly and a pretty, we're not looking to start trouble between the coach and player.
And I don't think that it's between the two. I'm just saying that I think Neighbors in isolation,
yep.
The way he's reacting, and you're right, Dable likes his competitiveness. It's one of the reasons why they wanted him here. I'm not saying, oh, it's a big blow up on the sideline and they hate each other. No, not that at all. What I'm saying is Neighbors has shown in now 2 years.
Yeah, a little petulance.
Getting frustrated visibly on the sideline. And that, to me, is more of a selfish thing. And just, it's not going to do any good to the team. Even if it's not just about him and about the frustrations with the offense or not getting the ball, that is not going to do any good. And that's what I'm saying. It's not him versus Dable. I'm saying it brings a negative energy and cloud around a situation that is obviously frustrating to begin with.
Well, I think on the national scene, which we don't really care about, but I think that's where it becomes more problematic. So you're going to have all these debate shows that when they get to the Giants and the Commanders, they will say, oh, look, here we are. Giants look terrible. And look, the head coach and the star receiver,
yeah. You
know, not getting along, when I don't really think it's that deep. But I do agree with you on this. When you don't get the football and you show that outward frustration, it seems selfish. It really does. It comes across as selfish. You don't want to see that.
If Garrett Wilson did that to Aaron Glenn, what would you want to see Aaron Glenn do?
Snapping, like, you know, like, let him vent for a second. This is not the 1950s. Let him air it out a little bit, and then if it became too much, now you've got to have a different tone and a different exchange.
Because,
and let him know who the boss is.
Correct.
Yeah.
Because it's about hierarchy and order and those things. That's what I'm saying. It's not a personal thing with Dable and neighbors. At least I don't believe it.
I don't think it is either.
I'm talking about respecting authority and a structure thing and who's leading the way. When you have players, and in this case, neighbor, and he's done this multiple times, your neighbor since he's been here, when you have players that are undermining the head coach, even just visibly showing frustration and disrespecting the head coach, be like, oh, come on, man, this is embarrassing. Like, we get it. It is embarrassing. I understand Malik Nabers. But that, to me, is undermining the head coach, which is just not a good look for anybody.
And here's the other problem, too. We'll get back to the calls. Obviously, Giant fans want to let it rip. 888-808-1019. Jets later. BT and Sal and all the fan. But the other problem, real quick, is that they have not had a quarterback who's got the presence and the chops to defuse that. Where Daniel Jones was very much to himself, very vanilla, didn't say a word. Whereas, you know, Russell Wilson, you know, he's got maybe the league cred, but he's got no equity here in that locker room. He just got here.
But he's supposed to be a leader.
I know he is. No, it depends on who you speak to in Seattle. Like, it was, there was different versions.
I know, but he won a Super Bowl. Like,
I'm a Russell Wilson fan. I get it.
I'm not even saying you have to be or not. I'm just saying part of the appeal to bringing a veteran quarterback would be cleaning up little things
like
that.
Yeah, but did you ever see him getting between, like, people? Like, remember when the defensive players were all over him? He just kind of kept his mouth shut. He's not that demonstrative, like, fight back verbally. I don't mean a fist fight with your teammate, but verbal pushback like a Brady or a Peyton Manning who would basically say, dude, shut the bleep up and get rid of me. Just get lost.
Also, maybe because of where he's at in his career. We saw similar with Aaron Rodgers last year with the Jets, where even though he was saying the right things and trying to get these guys to buy in, some of the younger guys just either don't respect it or don't care, and maybe that's the case. And again, I'm not trying to create problems. I'm not saying that it is a big problem. All I'm saying is I don't think that type of attitude or frustration shown on the sideline is healthy. And when you're losing and you're only scoring 6 points, like, we all know it. Neighbors doing that to me is not going to help out the current regime. BT and Sal on the fan, 888-808-1019. The number to call. Scott is calling from Rockland County. What's up, Scott?
Hey, appreciate y'all taking my call. Listen, Giant fans, y'all need to, you're going to be all right. You're going to be all right because they lost to a professional NFL team. They had a competitive game. And you got a team with a quarterback that's, you know, he has moderate success. I would consider him maybe pedestrian or a journeyman. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to hear about his Super Bowl win because, you know what, Trent Dilfer and Brad Johnson won Super Bowls. Would you put them in your starting lineup as a lead quarterback?
No, Scott, hold on. You're confusing me because you started to defend the Giants like, hey, it's going to be okay.
No, I'm saying,
and then you basically say the Russell Wilson, the Giants Trent Dilfer. Which one is it?
No, but you know what? People are complaining about the quarterback situation, and you got what you got. People wanted to, right?
We're not.
So, we can only speak for ourselves here.
I wanted to say that I think the Giants have a great chance at playoff. They'll be there, you know.
Based on what?
San Francisco's hanging around.
They got a better shot, unfortunately.
No, because they have a good team. And
Scott, they scored 6 points yesterday. I'm all for belief, and it's week one, you're right, but you got to give me some tangible reason why you think the Giants are going to be a playoff team, because I still haven't heard that from you.
All right, my tangible reason is this, is that they are the New York Giants, and they always seem to play.
Scott,
they always seem to...
Scott,
what? I'm a Saints fan, but I think the Giants are going to be a playoff team.
Scotty,
I wanted to
seems to be broken down again.
I knew he wasn't from here. You could just tell he sounds a little different, which is great. I mean, we love people calling all over the country, free Odyssey app. You relocate to the city, you latch on to BT and Sound All the Fan. We love it. But you couldn't have a more inaccurate view of the Giants. I mean, he just said the Giants are going to be good because of the Giants. That's supposed to be reassuring? I think the more accurate thing is the Giants are going to stink because they're the Giants. That's what's happened to the Giants. Now, I think the answer is somewhere in between. I do think they're going to be a little bit better than yesterday, and they'll win a couple of games. We can get to that later. But, like, I look at
a couple.
I
mean,
I do. I was a little bit more optimistic than you coming into the season.
A couple? Well, are we talking a literal two?
No, more than that. Yeah. Although if it's two, everybody's gone. But think about this, guys. Do the Giants, and this is depressing, do the Giants have, and I don't mean do they have a good receiver, do the Giants have an effective pass game? The answer is no. Do the Giants consistently and effectively run the football? The answer is no. Do the Giants effectively and consistently stop the run? The answer is hell no. And do the Giants have a pass rush? Oh, yeah, they do. It's by far the best aspect of the team. The problem is you never have a lead where you allow those guys to just go quarterback hunting. So even their best traits mitigated.
So if I were Scott trying to make a case for the Giants, or give you a tangible reason to believe in the Giants, I would start with saying, well, they have a quarterback who's won a Super Bowl in place. That's number one. Number two, they have an elite wide receiver in Malik Nabers. They also have elite players on defense, and it's just 1 week, and it's against the Commanders. Now, again, you could add all that up and still say, yeah, but I don't think it's good enough. But at least there are, like, you can make the case. Scott was clearly saying the Giants are because they're the Giants is like the worst thing that you could say based off of what the Giants have done, certainly, in recent history. Chris is in Tinton Falls. What's up, Chris?
Hello, Chris.
Gentlemen, how are you?
Chris.
Thank God the Yankees will be playing in October because I'm outraged at this Giant team again. guys, look, you both are hitting on it, and it's a fundamental problem. Their line is inept. Andrew Thomas is a great player. We all know it. But they had all summer, and BT, you pointed this out, as early as October of last year, he was hurt. You've got to then reconfigure your line and figure it out. Continuity. Offensive lines are built on continuity. They have to act as if Andrew Thomas isn't there. That line was embarrassing. Dable has been a pass-the-buck guy for a long time now. Daniel Jones is the problem. No, it doesn't matter who's under center. You don't have a line who can block. The best year they had was 22. Why? They had a really opportunistic defense led by Wink Martindale. He couldn't get along with him. Jettison him. Saquon Barkley had his best year, arguably, that year. Let's get rid of him because we don't need running backs. Anybody can replace him. Oh, look behind a mediocre line. You don't get production. That shows how good Barkley was. Now, they can't even protect, and it's all predicated on Andrew Thomas. And we want to indict Shane. Shane goes all in on Brian Burns. Good player. That money should have been put in the line because it's an offensive league and you got to throw the ball under Dable's offense. But you don't want to block. No, they want their splash moves. I've had it with this regime. They pat themselves on the back and then they pass the buck when it goes sour.
There's one thing left, and we'll take a break and get back to your calls here. There's one thing left from my perspective that is to be seen from this regime. We all know what that is.
Well, let me guess.
Yeah, well, that's it. No, but
I don't know. We got a new punter this week. Come on, man. That's the biggest story in the room.
Understood, but that's the definitive. Yeah. Like, it's it. Everything else has been determined. They have not been good enough. The regime. I'm not talking about Dable. I'm talking about Shane and Dable and everybody else involved. Almost every decision they have made has been the incorrect one. Almost. I mean, obviously, there's some. They talk about the talent, how they had a great draft last year, and now the talent this year. Again, we saw it. Like, at some point, I'd like to see the talent actually do something. You know, catch a ball, score a touchdown, simple things like that. Mm-hmm. I can be pleased easily. Just score a freaking touchdown.
It's bad already.
But there's one thing that, to me, that can save it all, and that's left to be. It's why I'm not going to say fire Shane and fire Dable yet. And it's Jackson Dart.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's go to Alex in Houston. What's going on, Alex? Good morning.
What's up, guys? Well, I mean, I just wanted to call in. I'm a longtime listener because of Radamus. And I remember listening on Friday, and I think Radamus is just full of it. I mean, I literally work with him. He hasn't grown any facial hair. And I know he never sent a picture in. So that's just a lie.
Jesus, Radamus. All right, so what else? What's your Giant take?
Oh, yeah, real quick. I mean, look, if Brian Daboll, like you said, he worked with Josh Allen, he worked in Alabama, why is it, if this is an important year for him, why is it that he just doesn't do the play calling? Like, I saw that Mike Kafka was in charge of it, and I'm like, if you just see that again and again and again, awful, like, offensive in the red zone, start the rookie, and this is your year. Like, this is all in. Get behind it.
Yeah, Alex, I mean, the play calling thing's been the thing that's been going on, you know. Is Kafka doing it? I can't believe that Mike Kafka got, like, real legit head coaching interviews. I have no idea how that happened. I mean, with his history here with this offense. But I don't know if it matters. Because these guys are coming up with the game plan together. It's a collaborative thing. Everybody's on the headset. I'm sure if Brian Daboll really doesn't like a play, he will say something about it. Whether Mike Kafka's calling the play or Brian Daboll's calling the play, they're still going to suck.
Right. It's the players going to execute the play.
And the offensive line's going to block somebody.
Well, sure, and it hurts that Andrew Thomas didn't play again.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, that was... I didn't know what to expect. I guess I was expecting that he wouldn't with some of the comments that he had said about not being fully there, and he wants to make sure that he's 100%. But once you saw that, you know, it wasn't a good thing. But then again, you know, Elijah Vera Tucker's out for the season prior to the first game. The Jets offensive line played one of the better games that they've played in a long time. Let's go to Steve in Spring Lake. What's going on, Steve?
Hey, good morning. How you doing, guys?
What's up, Steve?
Hey, I just want to throw something out to you. Instead of going with Dart or trying to get Dart in there the next couple of weeks, why wouldn't they go with Jameis Winston? He's got a better arm than I think Russell does, and he's more mobile than Russell is, and see what he can do.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I would do, quite frankly, because the one thing about that yesterday is, like, they're not taking any chances. I understand that Jameis Winston can throw six interceptions in a game and lose a game single-handedly. But for God's sakes, just let it fly a little bit, you know? Yes. Let it effing fly a little bit.
Yes, just have some fun, man. Throw it down the field. And let's see if we can get Malik Nabers taking over a game.
Right.
Wouldn't that be nice?
I mean, and then hopefully the defense, because the defense, when you score 6 points, it's just really, really difficult for a defense to hang on. But they weren't bad yesterday. I thought they were good.
They gave up over 220 yards on the ground.
Yeah, but I still thought...
A lot of that's Jaden Daniels. Right. So that, and, you know, when you play these quarterbacks that are like Josh Allen, Lamar, and Jalen Hurts, and, of course, Jaden Daniels, this creates a problem. This is one of the reasons why they want to get pass rushers and they want to get faster on defense is to stop some of that stuff.
Sure. But, I mean, I didn't think that they were bad. I thought they were above average yesterday, the defense, and they played well enough that if the offense did anything, the Giants would have had a chance
to
win.
They held them to 21 points.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. And it was
14 points deep into the fourth quarter.
Exactly. Let's go to Tom and Corum. What's going on, Tom?
Hey, guys. Good morning. How you doing today?
Good morning, Tom.
2 points, if I can. One Giants, one Yankees. With the Giants, I mean, expectations flow. Like you said earlier this morning, Gio, people were talking about how great they were in the preseason. Now they come on the ball field yesterday. I know they had over 200 yards of rushing, but 6 points. It's like we go down the field. We kick a field goal. We go down the field, we kick a field goal. I mean, to me, sometimes I feel like it doesn't matter who they bring in as the quarterback. It's always going to be the same kind of gameplay calling.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I disagree, Ed. I mean, I think just take a look at your opponent yesterday and what a great talented quarterback can do for you if you end up drafting that guy. And that's what they hope Jackson Dart is. But it's just a matter of, I mean... Are you going to throw him to the Wolves behind that offensive line this early in the season? I mean, that's the decision that's going to have to be made, and that really could ruin a guy. I mean, it's clear. It has happened before.
It could ruin a guy, but it also, you know, the guy may just all of a sudden strike lightning and all become the energy that this team has been missing.
Well, that's going to be...
I don't know what it is about the Giants, like, quarterbacks and offense and... It's just so flat.
Yeah, and it's been that way. You expected a little more energy from Russell Wilson, and it's the fact that they've tried so many different things to try to fix that offensive line, and essentially none of it has worked outside of drafting Andrew Thomas, who is hurt a lot. I mean, just think about it. How many different draft picks and free agents and on and on and on.
Stop it with the offensive line.
The red zone
I can't handle it.
They'll look at their film and they will really concentrate on red zone effectiveness because that was a huge problem yesterday for them. Now, they were moving the ball, but again, you have less than 300 yards in a football game.
Phil's calling from Staten Island. What's going on, Phil?
Morning, guys. Two things. First of all, Dable and Chase should have been fired last year, okay? They never done anything. The only thing they ever did was work with Josh Allen early on. But Josh Allen got better after he left. Do not play Dart because you're going to ruin him for the next regime. These guys have to go. They run out of excuses. They run out of players to blame. Daniel Jones probably got spooked by them. That's why he couldn't perform anything. I mean, the guy's a good quarterback. It's on them. They got to go.
Yeah, I mean, and I've talked about this before many times about the schedule, and if they didn't split or win the first two, that things were going to get really ugly for them. Obviously, they lost to the Commanders in embarrassing fashion yesterday. They have to go down to Dallas, where I feel like they never win. You get to start off 0-2, and then all of a sudden you got the Chiefs after that. If they don't win this week, it has the makings of another three-win season. It does, which is exactly what I was expecting, quite frankly. Now, this is why it's going to be so tempting, because the one thing that could change that is your first-round draft choice quarterback if he ends up being a stud. But, I mean, it's just...
Like if that first-round draft choice quarterback ends up taking over the team and somehow leads them to 7 wins and is playing exciting football, then everybody stays. But if this continues, and this is the reality of it, and as much as I may like Brian Daboll and Joe Shane and appreciate the Giants' history and John Mara and everything else, we're going to be right back where we were 3 years ago.
Yeah. Find me a win. Just look at that schedule. Find me a win after what you said yesterday. I mean, and what you saw yesterday.
Well, I mean, it's hard.
I saw one.
At New Orleans?
Yeah.
But that's, I mean, it's a road game. You know, New Orleans.
I mean, it's hard. Right now, waking up this morning, this is even more daunting given their performance yesterday than it was prior to the season starting because of the general feeling around the team and the youthful energy that they had brought in.
Well, I mean, this offseason. Some of you bought it. Some of you did.
I'm not giving up yet. I still think that defense is going to be good enough.
It's just going to be a damn near impossible for them to beat some of these teams that are on their schedule, honestly. I mean, Kansas City didn't look great. The Chargers did. You got both of those teams. That game's in Brazil. I don't know how much you could even take out of it. I mean, Justin Herbert looked as good as he has. He got that team on the schedule. You got the Eagles twice in a matter of 4 weeks. I mean, it is just... Woo! Let's go to Joe in Oceanside. What's going on, Joe?
I got two quick points. First, how is Michael McFadden going to be?
That's a good question. We did not get an update this morning at all.
And Andrew Thomas is a mutt. He's a disgrace to every football player. Lawrence Taylor must be rolling his eyes. Tiki Bob, everybody that played hurt. He is a mutt.
Yeah, I mean... When healthy, he is quite possibly their second best player, only to Dexter Lawrence. I mean, it's a tough injury that has to deal with the Liz Frank, and he felt like he couldn't come back and be 100%. I don't know. I can't sit here and call him a mutt this morning, Joe. I don't know how he's feeling, and if he's not there and thought he could risk it injuring it worse, or maybe he thought he just couldn't be effective, then that's what they thought, but.
Mutt's a little bit too strong for me.
Yeah.
That's crossing the line. Guy got hurt.
Line cross spot.
Guy's a great player. There's nothing you could do when a guy gets hurt, you could say he's off injured and you don't want to deal with it anymore. I can understand that.
I mean, I have a mutt at home and I love that mutt. Elvis. He's got a lot of different dogs in him, you know?
Yes. So
you look at it that way. A mutt can be a good thing because he's got a lot of dogs in you.
Yeah, I think that's a little too strong for me.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you
what
know why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.